Another objection that comes up is all the ends of the earth, Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. The word translated as the earth is the Hebrew word eretz, which is mostly translated as country or earth in the sense of a localized area or that earth belonging to a people, for example, the land or earth of Israel. In context, this whole chapter is about Israel and no other. It certainly is not used in the generalized sense as the universalists who try to prove the expression "the ends of the earth" means every race or place on earth. Number four for the objections and those stumbling blocks is the Exodus. When Israel made the Exodus from Egypt, it is evident that some Egyptians or some of mixed blood came out with the Israelites. The claim has been made that these saw the miracles that God had done in the land of Egypt, and so they joined themselves to Israel. These are then said to be a type of non-Israelite Gentiles joining the church. This mixed multitude was continually a problem within Israel. It should be remembered that these were not permitted to assemble with Israel. They were not permitted to worship with Israel. They were not permitted to assemble before God because they were not Israelites. There are two expressions translated, the congregation of the Lord, namely the EDAH, Edah, of Israel, and the Kahal, C-A-H-A-L, of Israel. And this difference is important because they separate the mixed multitude traveling through the wilderness from the Israelites themselves. So this is not a valid argument. Number five, everyone that thirsteth, somebody says, the Bible says everyone that thirsteth can come. Well, it does say that, Isaiah 55:1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. But again, the context shows this is addressed to Israel alone. The sure mercies of David, verse 3, indicate the people of whom he is commander. The everyone, the K-O-L-E, kole, of this verse is touched upon at the end of the previous chapter. Concordances do not convey the meaning of this word, but there is a parallel where the Greek equivalent is considered in the next objection. So we shall proceed to it, which is about Cornelius. Many say Cornelius was a foreigner. He was of a different race. Therefore, there are those who can be saved or have a covenant relationship. But this man is used by many as an example of a so-called Gentile, non-Israelite, being saved. The place of birth or citizenship tells us nothing about race. But this man's race can be determined by Scripture, even if he is not described as a Jew or Judean. In the AV, the Authorized Version, of Acts 10:28, Cornelius is described as being of another nation. But the Greek text uses the word alophoulos, which is a compound of alos, another of the same kind, and phoulos, a kindred tribe, phouli. Cornelius was a devout man, we are told, and he feared the God, therefore he was one who could believe. According to Vine, devout means careful as to the presence and claims of God. So Cornelius knew the Old Testament claims of God upon Israel. We do not find devout being used of people other than Israelites. Also, he feared God, Acts 10:2, and he prayed to the God and was heard by the God. God here is Ho Theos, the term used to denote the one true God. So Cornelius was not a Roman polytheist. He was an Israelite. Number seven, those who want to object to the exclusivity of Israel say, Peter's sheet vision proves you wrong. Universalists use the account of Peter's sheet vision to suggest that unclean animals in the sheet represent peoples of all races, but the rest of the chapter shows otherwise. that they were called Gentiles by translators in verse 45 only confirms that the wrong meaning is put on this word Gentile. Historically, the house of Israel, which was scattered among the nations, was considered unclean and common by those practicing the Jewish Edomite tradition of the elders' religion. In saying that it was unlawful, Peter knew that what he was doing was contrary to the tradition of the elders in Judea, as will be shown later. Peter was being shown that the 10 tribes of the house of Israel would be cleansed under the New Covenant or New Testament. The animals in the sheet represented the unclean and uncircumcised members of the house of Israel. They did not represent food to be eaten or not eaten. They represented the house of Israel, the unclean and uncircumcised members. This vision in Acts 10 is also used to promote the idea that the prohibition against eating certain unclean meats is no longer valid. The symbol is taken literally. When Peter declares what God has shown him, God does not tell him that he should not eat unclean meats. But God has showed me that I should not call any man unclean or common, referring to the Gentilized Israelites, the 10 tribes. The word another in another nation, verse 28, has already been covered in verse 6 above to show that this refers to people of the same kind. Nation here is phulos and not ethnos or demos, which are often translated as nation and people. The distinction is noted by Vine under nation and refers to Elos, another, and Phulon, a tribe. Acts 10:36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching, proclaiming peace by Jesus Christ. This follows on to say that a start was made in the Holy Land and continued to the uncircumcised Grecians of the house of Israel, Acts 11:20. This fulfilled the word as being sent to all Israel, both circumcised and uncircumcised. In verse 35, we have every nation, which, as the next verse explains, are the nations of Israel, the former tribes of Israel, which were dispersed among all the other nations. This confirms what the Old Testament says about the law and God's word being given only to Israel. Israel was scattered among every nation, verse 35, and the word, logos, was sent to Israel specifically according to this verse. The word of God was sent to Cornelius as an Israelite. The quote, in every nation of verse 35 is commonly and incorrectly given the general meaning of every as being every race, as explained in the previous chapter. Cornelius was one of those who feared and believed God. He had that spiritual capacity within him from his conception. These men had the capacity to believe God, and so could accept the good news and be reinstated as God's people. All men is thus all the men of dispersed Israel, and all the men of the Judean nation who were of Israel. Acts 10:43, to him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. The prophets did not witness or prophesy of redemption and remission of sins for all races. Evidently it is thought that they have. Should have, according to the common popular doctrine. The prophets were giving witness about Jesus and Israel, verse 43. Another objection that you have to cross over is the Ethiopian eunuch. Here we have a man who went to Jerusalem to worship and was returning and reading the scriptures in his chariot. It is impossible for a pagan to be returning from an Israelite feast, let alone reading the scriptures. Although he was of Ethiopia, this says nothing about his race or genes. It only tells us where he was living. If he had been a black man, he would have not been allowed near the temple, as he would have been an alien. The Jews would have killed such a person immediately. We can see this when the Apostle Paul tried to take one who was suspect of not being an Israelite into the temple, Acts 21:8. Would Philip be sent to one who was not called by God and to one who could not receive the word? The weight of this passage says the Ethiopian was an Israelite, even if his residence was in Ethiopia.